We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
I wish to submit for your consideration the subject, sanctification. What is sanctification? Is a sanctified person a sinless person? By what power does sanctification come? These are vital and important questions. Let us consider what the Bible teaches on the subject. First, may I suggest a definition of the term sanctification? Of course, it is important that we know the meaning of the term in order to understand its significance in the scheme of redemption. The word sanctification comes from a combination of Latin words, sanctus, which means holy, meaning to make, therefore, holy, or to set apart to a holy service, to consecrate. Sanctification, therefore, means to be set apart to a holy service, to be dedicated or consecrated to a holy purpose. What does it mean, then, for one to be dedicated or set apart to a holy service? Does the term holiness mean sinlessness? Does it mean one must be perfect to be holy? Actually, my friends, the term holy means suitable. The expression as holy oil, holy nation, holy vessels, holy priesthood are used in the Bible and, of course, are self-explanatory. It is evident, therefore, that the word holy does not mean perfect or sinless. The expression holy vessels obviously means something set apart to worship or to a service to God. The expression holy nation, holy oil, holy priesthood, these simply mean a nation or a people set apart suitable to serve God, or oil set apart suitable for service to God. It is a false conception of sanctification when men claim that they are without sin and never sin anymore because they are sanctified. Sanctification does not mean sinlessness, but it does mean to be set apart to a holy and useful life dedicated to the service of God. The apostle wrote in Hebrews 12:14, "Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification of the Lord, without which no man can see the Lord." Sanctification, therefore, is essential to salvation from sin. Understanding this important fact, I propose the question, from what source does the power of sanctification come? Does sanctification come in answer to prayer? Does sanctification come directly from God in heaven? Should I tell you to kneel down by your radio or just lay your hands on the radio, and then through some miraculous or strange operation, you will experience sanctification? What strange power does the radio have that you may just lay your hands on the radio, believing in God, and experience sanctification? Have you not heard preachers make such strange, peculiar declarations over the radio? My friends, do not be deceived by such fantastic ideas, for such is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. Such superstitious ideas and actions are in no way related to the source and power of sanctification. God very definitely revealed to us the source and power of sanctification. According to Jude 1:1, God and Christ constitute the source of sanctification. That is, they, God and Christ only, are able to set apart man from sin and make him useful in the service of God on earth. Listen to this statement. Are you listening? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy to you and peace, and love be multiplied. From this quotation it is evident that men are sanctified by God. Again, according to Hebrews 13:12-14, men are sanctified by Jesus Christ and the offering of His blood as an atonement for sins. The apostle declared, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." Sanctification, therefore, is from Christ by virtue of His atoning blood. Not only is sanctification from God and Christ, but sanctification is by the Holy Spirit. Hear the Apostle Paul in Romans 15:16 when he declared, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of Christ, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, the apostle revealed. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is also a source and power of sanctification. But my friends, the important question now is, how are we sanctified by the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit come down directly from heaven, enter into a man's heart, burn out all the so-called Adamic nature of man in his heart and save him? Is man wholly passive in the matter, doing nothing himself, but waiting until the Spirit has finished his job, then shouting to the world that he has been sanctified by the Holy Spirit? Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, you have never read anything like that in your Bible in your life. Sanctification by the Holy Spirit is not a miraculous hocus-pocus operation. It is a God, Christ, Holy Spirit, coordinated, intelligently performed objective, that of setting man apart from his sins so that he may be a suitable vessel or a holy priesthood, set apart to serve God with a consecrated life. It is not a superstitious, unintelligent, and unexplainable experience. Quite the contrary. It is a most intelligent matter. Indeed, the Bible definitely declares that man is sanctified by the truth, the Word of God. It is a matter of intelligent teaching and understanding. Listen to Jesus as he prayed to the Heavenly Father, recorded in John 17, verse 17. He said, "Father, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." Did you hear the Lord? He said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? I can tell you there is positive in no case of conversion or one being sanctified and becoming a Christian recorded in the entire New Testament without that person having been taught the gospel of Christ by a preacher of the gospel and without that person having obeyed the truth of the gospel. No, in all cases, they heard, they believed, and they obeyed. Jesus declared that men are sanctified by the truth, meaning, of course, they must be taught the truth and they must obey the truth in order to be set apart from sin by the cleansing blood of Christ. I have presented to you the scriptural facts that the source and power of sanctification are from God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the truth, the Word of God. Now, it must be observed that man himself must have an active part in sanctification. Indeed, for a man to be sanctified, he must sanctify himself. Men of Old Testament times were told to sanctify themselves. Read Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44, Leviticus 20 verse 7 and 8, and other related passages. God said, "For I am the Lord thy God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." And again he said, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them, and I am the Lord which sanctifieth you." It must be concluded, therefore, that a man is not wholly passive in becoming sanctified. He does not sit by and wait for God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit to come down from heaven and operate upon his heart, cutting away the nature of sin to the extent that he is free from the desire of sin and will never sin again because he's sanctified. No, my friends, that is not true. Man himself has a part in sanctification. He must sanctify himself. He must appropriate unto himself the blessings of sanctification afforded by the goodness and the mercy of God, who made it possible through Christ. That is, Christ himself made it possible for man to be sanctified. According to 1 Peter 3:15, we are told to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. In Acts 15 and 9, it is revealed that he made no distinction between us and them, sanctifying or cleansing their hearts by faith. According to Peter's statement of 1 Peter 3:15, we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. But in Acts 15:9, the same apostle declared that our hearts are to be sanctified or purified by faith. Faith is something that the man himself must exercise. God does not do the believing for us. We must do the believing, and we must put into action what we are told to believe and what we are told to do. Therefore, man positively must sanctify himself. The Apostle Peter declared that our hearts must be purified by faith. But it must be understood that faith is predicated upon the Word of God. Man cannot believe unless he has heard the Word of the Lord and must act upon the Word of the Lord. In Romans 10:13-17, the Apostle Paul declared, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And then he concludes in verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We must sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, Peter declared. But we cannot sanctify Him in our hearts without the heart being purified by faith. And we cannot have the hearts purified by faith without having heard the Word of God, which informs us what to do in order that our hearts may be purified. The same Apostle Peter declared in 1 Peter 1:22-23, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, being born again." Notice, the Apostle declared, "Ye have purified your hearts, your souls." Ye have purified. Who did it? You did, Peter said. The Holy Spirit did not come down from heaven and do it for you. God alone didn't do it for them. The Apostle declared that they purified their souls. But how did they purify their souls? He tells us how. "You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." They were sanctified by God. They were sanctified by Christ. They were sanctified by the Holy Spirit. They were sanctified by the truth. The Holy Spirit, through the truth of the Word of God, directed them in what they should do, how that they might be set apart from sin unto salvation. They obeyed the truth. Thus, they themselves sanctified themselves through faith and obedience to the gospel. When Peter said in Acts 15:9 that God made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, he declared that God made no difference between the Jew and the Gentile with reference to sanctification from sin. The Gentiles were to sanctify and purify their hearts by faith, just as the Jews did on Pentecost, the record of which is found in the second chapter of Acts. According to Peter in 1 Peter 1:22-23, which is addressed to the same people of Acts 2, they purified their souls in their obedience to the truth. Yet in Acts 15:9, Peter declared that their hearts were purified or sanctified by faith. It is therefore obvious that since faith comes by hearing the Word of God, these Jews on Pentecost purified their hearts by faith through their obedience to the Word of God. They obeyed the commands of Peter, revealed in Acts 2:38, when he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." According to verse 41 of Acts 2, "They that gladly received his word were baptized." How many received the word? The Bible says, "As many as were baptized." How many were baptized? As many as received his word, about 3,000 of them. They were those who purified their souls through faith and obedience to the word commanded by the inspired apostle. I must say to you today, my friends, God cannot sanctify those who refuse to sanctify themselves. In John 17:19, our Lord declared that for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Yes, Jesus sanctified himself, but not to become pure, for he was already pure. He sanctified himself not to obtain remission of sins, because he had no sins. Our Lord set himself apart for man's salvation. He completely surrendered himself. When man sanctifies himself in order for God to sanctify him unto salvation, he must completely surrender himself in faith and obedience unto God's will. Sanctification demands complete surrender of every part of a man's being to God. Christ completely sanctified himself without reservation, giving his life upon the cruel tree of the cross for our salvation. My friends, you must completely surrender your soul and your will to the will of God without reservation in order to be saved. Any man who presumes to sanctify himself unto the Lord, but reserves the right to reject any of the commandments of the Lord, cannot be sanctified by God. If a man presumes to sanctify himself unto the Lord, but refuses to obey the command, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus said. He has rejected the sanctification of God. If a man presumes to be sanctified, but rejects the command of Peter when he said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins," he has rejected God's only means of his sanctification. Beloved, if a man has obtained remission of sins through faith and obedience to the Word of God, it is through sanctification of himself being set apart in obedience to God's will, he may expect to be saved. It is imperative that a child of God continue to observe all things commanded of the Lord, because he is sanctified, set apart to that purpose. The church of our Lord, which is the redeemed through Christ's blood, is the sanctified people of God. Paul declared that to be true in Ephesians 5:25-27. His inspired words were, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water with the word," that he might sanctify what, Paul? "Sanctify the church," he declared. Christ loved the church. He died for the church, that he might sanctify it. Beloved, the body of Christ, the church, is the sanctified people of God upon this earth. Are you a faithful, consecrated, sanctified?